Hallelujah. Hey. Oh, there's people in church. Praise the Lord. I thought I was all by myself. It's very quiet. Everyone okay? Hallelujah. It's so exciting to see your lovely faces this morning. If you're visiting us this morning, I want to say welcome to Living Light Gospel Church. Wave to me, please, if you're visiting. Praise the Lord for the wonderful couple at the back there. Welcome to church, my brother and sister. Give them a nice Living Light Gospel Church welcome. Amen. We welcome those who are watching on live stream as well at home. Hope you, the Word of God transforms your life today as we continue the journey of being transformed or being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray for the Word because I'm just filled up with the Word. And I'm the veg is just shaking, so I have to release it quickly before it stops. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Thank you, God, for what you're bringing the insides of your Word, oh God, as we study your Word. And thank you, God, that your Word is everlasting to everlasting. Your Word is life. Your Word is a lamp unto our feet. You are the Word made flesh and dwell on this earth, oh God. And Father, I thank you that your Word is still with us today. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your Word will last forever. Lord, today I thank you for every man, women, and children that are here today. God, it is an appointed time and day for them to be in this building today. They could be somewhere else, oh God, but they're here. And I thank you, God, that they're here because you have guided their paths and you've ordered their steps and you've brought them to this place today to receive something that will be able to help them throughout life, oh God, as we bring your Word today. Watch over your Word to fulfill it in our lives, Father. Let not one fall to the ground. Let it not come back to you void, oh God. Let it accomplish everything that you have purposed for your Word. And I pray, God, that you always do that. Hide me from the people. Hide me, oh God, so that they hear your Word and your Word alone, just your voice alone in the Spirit. I pray in no other name but the name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua of Mashiach. Everyone agrees and said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Turn to your neighbor and says, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to come to church, prepare to take notes. Because this kind of teachings and preaching, it's not enough for one Sunday. I can't stand here and give you this stuff for just one Sunday. That's why I'm on part three of Be Transformed by the Renewing of Your Mind. And I want you to take notes because I want you to, as we start our home groups, we are able to take what has been released on the pulpit, take it home, study it for yourselves. Don't just believe what I say. Study it for yourselves because God does something to you when you study His Word. And it helps you to become equipped to be able to minister to those around you, even in our home groups. Amen? Take what's being preached on this pulpit because the season and the time for this word is now. And we can't deviate from what God is speaking to us through what is important for our church at this season. And so that's why I continue to go on this path all the time. I can't change until I'm satisfied that God has wanted to speak what He wants to speak. So I encourage you, take notes when you come to church. Take a piece of paper, write notes down. And God will guide you and write scriptures down and he'll just go back and have a listen even to the whole sermon to get more insights of what is being released on Sunday. So that's why I wanted to continue this path. And I know there's part four coming too. Because it's a big topic. And, you know, the topic of renewing of our minds is such a big topic. It's just hard to let go just for one Sunday. Because that is really where the battlefield is for many of us in the church today. Christians are getting pulled down, torn down by the devil every time. Because of this. This is a problem in the church. And that's why we have to address this and bring insights and principles that you are able to understand and take on board. Do it. Be doers of what the word has been released to you. Amen? So as I've been sharing with the other brothers and you know, we're talking about transformed by the renewing of our minds. And God's starting to give us some insights of things. And today I just wanted to release some of it today. And I'm going to start by bringing some great principles to set the pace for this message this morning. You know, one of the problems with renewing of our minds is that we still have the old mindsets or the habits of sin in our lives. We're saved, we're born again, we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but guess what? You're not in heaven yet. Oh, hello, somebody. You're still breathing, living, walking on this planet. And as long as you're here on this planet, you'll be attacked every time. The devil is at your door knocking. And I will say to the people that I minister to, every time you confess something in your mouth, see, the devil doesn't read your mind. What made you think he reads your mind? He's just another created being like you and I. God created him. So he can't read your mind until you open your mouth. Amen? Oh, hello, somebody. But the devil doesn't know what's in your heart or in your mind until you open your mouth to speak. That's why the Bible says what? Guard your tongue. Life and death is in your tongue. You want death in your life? You speak death. You want life in your life? You speak life. And so he's watching for you to open your mouth to speak because it doesn't read your mind unless you give your mind to him. He has no control over your life until you give yourself to him. Then he takes control of your life.
That's right.
But until then, you are in power. You have one of the most powerful characters that God has given you, one of his attributes, and that is what? Your willpower to choose from right or wrong. Hallelujah. God has done the work on the cross. What did he say? He says it is
finished.
It's finished. Now, the doing part of it, the walking part of it, is what? It's not God's. It's us. We have to do it. We have to get up and say, I am going to make some changes in my life today. Today. Today is a new day for me. I am going to make a total change in my life by what? Applying what I received this morning in my own life. Hallelujah. The Bible says what? Be doers of the word. Hallelujah. See, our body, you and I, human beings, we have three parts. Our outer body, which I love, Pastor Bill calls it the saucepan, which is the athanversal that you and I right now are having. You know, now some of you are straight and some of you are out of shape and some of you are O-shape and U-shape and T-shape and six-pack and no pack at all.
Wannabe
packs, just like some of us. Some of us have six-packs, but it's hidden at the moment. Oh, hallelujah. It's relaxing. It's just muscle relaxing. So we have this earthen vessel in us. Amen? And then we have our soul, which is what? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's where the enemy attacks all the time. And then we have our spirit, which is our true essence. The core of our being is the spirit man. Hallelujah. There is nothing on earth more powerful. I'm going to set this pace up for this message. It says there's nothing more on earth more powerful than a human will. Your willpower is so powerful, and God cannot give, he gave it to you, and he will never take it back from you. And it is dangerous because you can use the same willpower to choose against God. And many of us do that before we came to Christ. See, God wants to change the world and have his, and use your will or use his will through you to change the world, to preach the gospel. But the problem is that the will that he gave you is not his. It belongs to you. And he wants to use that to change the world. He will not control you. He will not come and hold your hand and guide you. He's going to just do what he did with every one of us by sending the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost always works with your willpower. The devil does the same thing. Satan does the same thing. They don't force you. He can't force you to do anything. Please listen to me. He cannot force you to do anything. I tell this church, please stop blaming the devil. Please stop blaming Satan for everything. Because everything that we do in life is self-inflicted. And it's our choice in life that we make. It is nobody's fault. It is our fault when we make choices. That's why this book is really important for you. To read this book. But the Bible says, God says to Joshua, let not this book depart from you. It says, meditate on it, what? Day and night. Your lips must have this word inside of you. He made it so easy. We made it so hard for ourselves when we choose the other path to go against God's will. Hallelujah. In fact, it is so powerful that God himself cannot control it. So God wants to establish his kingdom administration on earth using your will. But the problem is that it is our will. And we can do whatever we want with it. We choose to follow our own self, our own ideas, our own journey. And we refuse to listen to God in his word. He says what? He says what? Let my will be done on earth. How can that be done if we are not people that apply his word to our lives? And one of the things that you must remember is that God cannot take that away from us. So it is a very dangerous thing to have a willpower, because it is the same thing that you can choose against God. And many of us do that until we come to Christ. Then we change, because his willpower now aligns with ours. It becomes one, and we begin to use his power to do his will on earth. Hallelujah. So the seat of the will is in the conscious and the subconscious mind. And I've explained that to you. And I know many of you are here this morning are new. And so the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, the Bible talks about your mind, and your subconscious mind is your heart. Amen? So if you read the Bible always talks about the heart. It talks about innermost being, the innermost part of you. That is your heart. That is the subconscious mind. It's like a computer hard drive that sits there. And your mind works every time. And whatever you see and whatever you read and whatever you continue to do, that's why repetition is a dangerous thing. If you keep seeing pornography, you will put it into your heart. If it sits here, you're still okay. That's why Jesus said, what? You have heard that I said, you have heard that you should not what? Commit adultery. And then he says, but I say, he lifts the standard, the kingdom standard. And as he says, even if you look, why? He's guarding you from bringing that, what you see, into your heart. And when it gets to the heart, that's where there's trouble. Hallelujah. So the devil cannot read your mind, my friends. You should shout, give a shout of joy this morning about that. Amen. Don't you go worrying about, oh, the devil knows what I'm doing. He has no idea. If he did, he will know what Jesus was doing to get on the cross. He would try everything. He was second-guessing everything when Jesus was on this earth. He was guessing. He was just guessing. He's groping in the dark, wondering what God was doing. Hallelujah. And he's still doing it today. And that's why I said some of you should never throw your pearls to the pigs. Something that God gives you. Never share it with people that will trample on you and destroy your vision. Keep it to yourself. And here's a good one. If you're going to come to prayer on Saturday morning, don't send me a message and tell me you're coming. Oh, hello, somebody. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Because the devil's watching you. And the moment you say, I'm coming to prayer on Saturday morning, there's a heavy, deep sleep come upon you. Because he had your plans. He knows what you're up to. So shut your mouth and come to prayer. Don't you send me a text and tell me, I'm coming to prayer, Pastor. No. Shut up. Don't tell your plans. Some of the things that we're going to be doing is going to be secret things we do. Only God knows about it. Hallelujah. See that revival that's coming? It's going to happen inside of you. Devil can't pinpoint it because it's going to be inside of you. All of a sudden, you'll be like, oh, I feel something inside of me. How can he get to that? Unless you give it to him. Hallelujah. So you've got two minds. Your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. And your conscious mind feeds your subconscious mind every information you get. So if you're watching Home and Away every time, you become like Home and Away. You'll want to eat like Home and Away. You want to dress like Home and Away. You want to talk like Home and Away. You want to drive cars like Home and Away. If you watch Neighbors, you'll be like, want to be like Neighbors. If you read a woman's magazine with all these nice glosses, you would like, want to become like them. Oh, hello, somebody. And all the women said, and all the men even said amen to that. I'm praying for you, men. Don't get yourself confused now. If you don't have a womb, you're a man. Hallelujah. That's not hard to see. You don't need signs to figure that out. Hallelujah. That is why repetition, my friends, is dangerous. Now, you are safe as long as something is in your mind. Forget that in a minute. Some of us are getting old, we're forgetting things now, which is good sometimes. Because you don't want to think about some of those things that praise God for conscious mind, because sometimes you forget. But when it gets to the subconscious mind, that's when we have to fast and pray to get rid of some stuff. Hallelujah. And so it is important. The word heart in Hebrew is the word referring to the subconscious mind. Solomon says, you or whatever your subconscious mind is. Let me just rephrase that. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you are what is in your heart. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I had to make changes. See, some of the things I'm standing here talking to you today, I'm talking to you about the testimony of my own life. I was sharing with the music team. A testimony cannot be a testimony until you've overcome that. Amen. Otherwise, it is not a testimony. It is still a burden that you're carrying. The moment you overcome that burden, it has become testimony to you. The Bible says what? They have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Hallelujah. That's why everything that I do, I had to make changes in my life so that when I stand here, hallelujah, and keep my heart with diligence, for out of it what springs the issues of life. I want this place to have a clean well where you can drink from every time. That's why we protect this well, so that there's fresh, clean water coming to you every Sunday when you come to receive. Hallelujah. And that responsibility is every leader in this church, not just the pastor. Everyone who puts his hands up to serve in his church, clean your heart out, clean your hands out. Hallelujah. Clean hands and pure hearts. That's how we represent God. So whoever controls your heart controls your life. Hello, somebody. Who's controlling your life today? Who's tending your garden today? Hallelujah. Adam gave up the garden to Satan. What have you given up to Satan lately? If you keep repeating the same things over and over again, it's going to destroy you. So the battle of life is what? It's in the soul of man. The soul is a mediator between the body and the spirit. The devil doesn't want your spirit. Your spirit is saved and it's got somebody else living inside of you. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want your body. It's dust. It's a piece of dirt. It goes down into the dust and it goes. But there's a real key component that he will always try to manipulate, and that is our soul. Amen? That is where our emotions and our minds and all these battlefields that are happening in your mind is right here. Romans chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Now we're going to this wonderful scripture. Verse 1 to 2. He says, I appeal. This is Paul begging the people. He's begging the church. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, if you're under grace, love of God, he says, use that, he says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the what will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. This will of God, I just want to talk about it a little bit today, this term, the will of God. Verse 2 says, what we are to discern is what is the will of God. It is a very common phrase, and I think that sometimes when we use it, we may not know what we're talking about. Hallelujah. That is not spiritual and healthy for talking things that you don't understand the context of. It just becomes a religious blubber in your life. Quoting scriptures doesn't change anybody. It's walking scriptures that transforms people. So you better know what you're talking about when you're ministering to someone. Because he will look at your life and say, hang on a minute, You're not even living that and you're telling me to do that? Hallelujah. And the term will of God has at least two or possibly three biblical meanings. First, there is the sovereign will of God that always comes to pass without fail. Anything that's sovereign, anything that God speaks, prophecies and things like that, the sovereign will, his sovereign will never fail. No matter what Satan tries to do, no matter what you try to do, his sovereign will never fail. That's one of the number one. Number two, there is the revealed will of God in the Bible. What is the revealed will of God? Do not steal. Do not fornicate. Do not cause adultery. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not kill. Do not covet. And this is what? It is the revealed will of God. He's already given us that. He's revealed it to us. He says, that's my will for your life. Don't do it. Hallelujah. His sovereign will never fail. His revealed will is given it to us. And the third is the path of wisdom and spontaneous godliness that you and I feel by the power of the Holy Ghost. The moment that we can speak and talk about things that are spiritual. That's a will that God has already given us to be able to do. Wisdom where we consciously apply the word of God in our renewed minds to complex moral circumstances. When you're facing complex moral circumstances, then the will of God kicks in into your life. You know exactly what to say, what to do. Amen? Joseph, when Potiphar's wife came and stripped before him, Joseph went straight to the will of God. Hallelujah. What did he do? He ran. Amen. Flee. You don't just stand there and start speaking in tongues. It doesn't help you. Your soul is not going to sit around and wait for... I won't say anything anymore from that part here. You know what I'm talking about. Yes. Hallelujah. So, by the renewal of your mind, Romans chapter 2 or 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and perfect. Friends, we are perfectly useless as Christ-exalting Christians if all we conform to is the things of the world. Yeah. We are useless Christians if we conform to the things of the world. Hello, somebody. There's no power in a Christian that conforms to the things of the world. We're useless. We can't do anything. Power doesn't operate in people that conform to the things of the world. Hallelujah. So Apostle Paul says, the key to not wasting our lives with the kind of success and prosperity is being transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. That word is used one time in all the Gospels, and I'll tell you where. Namely about Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration, the mountain of transformation. It is the same word. Hallelujah. So Matthew chapter 17 verse 2, the Bible says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. Hallelujah. And his clothes became white as light. Mark chapter 9 verse 2, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up the high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. This is the very time, the only time that Jesus showed his godly side. Hallelujah. And guess what Peter said? He says, let's just build a temple right here. Typical man mindset. Let's just build one here and don't go anywhere. Let's just worship. Hallelujah. But Jesus revealed his godliness to Peter, James, and John. Hallelujah. The non-conformity to the world does not mean the external avoidance of worldly behaviors. That's included. But you can avoid all kinds of worldly behaviors and not transform. You can avoid sin. You can avoid fornication. You can avoid adultery. You can avoid stealing, lying. You can avoid all that and still not get transformed. And that's the problem we have inside the church. Hallelujah. I'm talking to Christians now. I'm not talking about the world. When you walk into this door, you receive a message to guide your path every day. Hallelujah. That's my job, is to bring something to you that will help you when you open the door to walk out And you can come back to what has been said, and then you say, hang on a minute. I didn't just go to church this morning to warm pews and look nice in my clothes. You came to receive something from God. Hallelujah. So receive it this morning. Jesus showed his godly self before Matthew, Mark, and John. And that's what he expects you to show, your godly self. Because you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Hallelujah. That's included, that you can avoid all these things. But his face, the Bible says, his face shone like the sun. And his clothes became white as light. God expects you and I to shine like the sun. And our clothes become white as snow. That's what he expects you. I'm talking spirit now, amen? That's what he expects you to do. Show your godliness. Show your holiness. Show your righteousness by abiding by his word. Something like that happens to us spiritually and morally and mentally. First on the inside. And then later on, it resurrected from the outside. Hallelujah. So Jesus says of us at the resurrection, he says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, transformation is not switching from the to-do list of the flesh to the to-do list of the law. That's not transformation. Amen? Paul says what? Certainly not. When Paul replaces the list, the works of the flesh, he does not replace it with the works of the law, but the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He didn't replace it with the law. He replaced it with the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 22. He says, and now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, he says, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, now here's the key. But he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, he says, there is no law. Hallelujah. He didn't tell you to stop doing that, to come and follow law. He says, no. Now, ignite the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Get it going inside your life. Hallelujah. Because it's already there. When you come to Christ, Christ comes to live inside of you. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. And these are the fruits of the Spirit that is inside of you. He says, ignite that. Amen. That will take you through life on this earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The kingdom alternative to immoral behaviors is not a new list of moral behaviors.
Yeah, amen. Wow.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
The kingdom alternative to immoral behaviors is not a list of moral behaviors. It is the triumphant power and transformation of the Holy Spirit through the faith in Jesus Christ that lives in us. Our Savior, our Lord, our treasure, our God has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not the letter. The new covenant, hallelujah. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. So transformation is a profound, blood-bought, spiritual change from the inside. Hallelujah. That's transformation, my friends. That is real transformation. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, it just reminds me of that song. Something on the outside, or inside, working on the outside. In my life. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Pastor Bill.
Something on the inside.
On the inside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change in my life. That's it. Something on the inside is working on the outside. And that's why people see the change in you and they say, yep, I can trust this man. I can trust this woman. If I have a problem, I can run to him. Why? Because he's got Jesus living inside of him. He's got Christ living inside of him. He's got a word of God inside of him. Hallelujah. You know why? I've been doing counseling for the whole week today. And this is the same problem. That's why I'm addressing this to you today. Is please take this and take it to your home groups. Don't go and preach something else. Yeah. Stand on this. This is important for you and your family and for your church and for your home group. That we become transformed mindset people. Hallelujah. Freedom to be enslaved in Christ. We are free to be enslaved in Christ. Whoa, I love that. That is why the Christian life, though it is utterly submitted in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, you can write it down, or Romans chapter 10, verse 3, even enslaved, hallelujah, that's the Christian life. You are submitted and you are enslaved in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, 22, to reveal the will of God is described in the New Testament as what? Radically free. You are enslaved. You are what? Submitted to what? Be free. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Who are you submitted to? Who are you radically connected to or enslaved to? Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And by doing that, you are free. What is the revealed will of God? It is what? Do not steal. Do not lie. You are actually revealing that will to those around you. Amen. Hallelujah. The revealed will of God should be out there where people can see it. Amen. And say that truly this man, this woman is truly a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just a Christian. Hallelujah. Yeah. Christianity has become a religion. It's kingdom people. It's people that believe in Lord Jesus Christ, that abide by the constitution we call the Bible, that is of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Now the Lord is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Amen. Freedom. Hallelujah. You're enslaved and you're submitted to God, yet you're free. Why? Because you got the Spirit of God inside of you. And there's freedom and there's liberty. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says what? For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We were slaves to sin before. But when Christ came and Jesus, and wonderful communion service and the message from Pastor Janet and the song, set free to be able to free, to be free again, to be able to live on earth. Listen to me. Kingdom lifestyle is not just seriousness and, oh, you know, you'd be boring to be somebody I live with or hang around with if you're just a boring Christian. Kingdom life is joy, peace, laughter. Hallelujah. Loosen up a little bit, people. Enjoy kingdom life here. You don't have to be so uptight and say, you know, I want to be a Christian. I'm going to walk like a Christian. Man, relax. I'm going to avoid you every time if I see you like that. But be so uptight, you will pop, blow up. Hallelujah. You're free in Christ because you do not, from the inside, what you love to do. Listen to this. You are free in Christ because when you do from the inside what you love to do, you are what? Free. Amen. Wow. When you love to do what's on the inside, you're free. If what you love to do is what you ought to do, then you are free. Wow. That's a song. If what you love to do is what you ought to do, you're free. Write a song, quick. Write a good song. Hallelujah. Oh, sit up straight, put your seatbelts on. We're just starting. Amen. We are just starting. Hallelujah. Amen. Say hello to your friends for a sec. Smile. So, my friends, renewal is an essential means of transformation. So, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul now focuses on one essential means of transformation. Wow. When I read that, it blew my mind. Wow. It says, the renewal of your mind. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is absolutely crucial for us. If you long to break loose from conformity to the world, if you long to be transformed and new from the inside out, or if you long to be free from just mad, driven duty, Christianity, what boring Christian life I'm talking about, to do what you love to do, because what you love to do is what you ought to do. So if you long to offer up your body as living sacrifice so that your whole life becomes a spiritual act of worship, then that displays the worth of Christ above the worth of the world. When you do that, it displays the worth of Christ above the worth of this world. Amen. When you do these things, then give yourselves with all your might, my friends, all your might to pursuing this. Let me just read you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, please read Ephesians 4 and 5. Both books, it says, everything about this book is powerful. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Paul is always begging. He's like, come on, guys. Yeah. What's wrong with you people? Yeah. Hallelujah. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the... get it. He says, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Hallelujah. Yeah. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hallelujah. Then he says again, he says, this is therefore, in John chapter 4, verse 17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer, what? Walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He's telling you to what? You can't read the Bible and just sit there. Everything that you read telling you to what? To do it. So you get up and he says what? Walk in unity. Walk in love. He says, do it. Not just sitting around thinking about it. He says, walk in light. In verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all in goodness, righteousness, and truth. He says, walk. He's begging us to not just sit there, read the Bible, and feel holy about it. He says, get up and walk in it. Amen. Talk about it. Amen. Walk in those things. If you want unity, walk in unity. Do it. Amen. If you want love, walk in love. Do it. Don't just be hearers of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Do it. Yeah. And when you do it, you ignite the power of the word of God. Right. Hallelujah. It takes one obedience to one word of God. One. And then the rest of your life will flow in. Because why? It's easy to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm just excited about this. Yeah. You know why I'm talking about this? I'm talking about my own life. Amen. I was born again twice. Once to come into Christ, next one to take the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, I'm talking about my own walk with Christ. That there's giants that has to be dead inside of my own life before I stand here and talk to you. Hallelujah. That's why we got this place. So that people that come and talk here are giant slayers. Hallelujah. That's why you don't hear visiting speakers too much in this church. Why? We protect this place from what has been given to you. There's a good diet already you're eating. Amen? So stop drinking on milk. Leave the milk now. Time to eat some bones. Hallelujah. That's why I love Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5. It says, walk in what? Walk, walk, walk. Paul says, get up and walk. Do it. Hallelujah. Just like Nike says, just do it. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed. So the problem with our minds, ladies and gentlemen, there are many who think that the only problem with the human mind is that it doesn't have access to all the knowledge it needs. See, this is the world's problem. They think that you don't know anything, so they want to educate you. Well, hello, somebody. That is the problem. There are many who think that the only problem with the human mind is that it doesn't have access to all the knowledge it needs, so it has to give it more knowledge. So education becomes the great instrument of redemption, personal and social. And that's where our problem is. Because we believe too much what the teachers tell you. You believe too much what the university graduate or your professor tells you. You believe too much what the system of the world tells you. Hallelujah. The world seems to think that if people just move or get more education, they would not use their minds to invent what? Elaborate schemes and become terrorists and thieves and adulterers. And if they get more education, they'll stop doing that. Yeah. Oh, hello, somebody. You know, you didn't know what I said. They think that if you go and study and become somebody, you'll stop fornicating. You'll stop doing all the wrong things. You'll stop speeding on the road and causing traffic, break traffic laws because you are educated. Listen to me. The world is full of educated fools. I was one of those educated fools. You were too. So stop sitting there feeling like you're so holy this morning. All of us were all shady characters, educated, until we were transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. If people just got more education, wrong. The world is full of educated fools, my friends. And the Bible has far more profound analysis of the problem. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, Paul uses a striking phrase to parallel Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That blew me away. That's the one I was talking about. He says, be renewed in the, what? Spirit of your minds. Whoa, hallelujah. Now, what in the world is that, the spirit of your mind? It means at least the human mind is not a sophisticated computer that we all like to believe, managing data, which it then faithfully presents to the heart for the appropriate emotional response. I'm talking about your mind, your conscious mind, and your subconscious mind. Hallelujah. It doesn't just have a view. Your mind doesn't just have a view. It has a viewpoint. It doesn't just think. There's something about your mind that if you don't guard it, that if you don't put the word of God in it, then it's going to control your life. It's not just a mind. It's a mindset. That's why the mindset change of the people in the wilderness, 40,000, how many years was that? In the desert. 40,000. 40 years in the desert, all the generation died, and God took a renewed mindset of people into the promised land. Yep. Hallelujah. And so that promised land, I always tell you, and the wilderness is actually really good for you and I. Amen. It gets us to the place where we should change. And if we don't, we'll die in that place. Yeah. And not achieve what God has wanted you and for your life and for your family. Hallelujah. See, many people, I like to say, many people were born, but they never show up. When you go to the grave, it says, oh, that's Tom. It just, John, that's Peter. They just were born and they just died. What is your gravestone going to look like? What are you going to do for God that's going to have it on your gravestone? Hallelujah. Show up. Be born and show up. Be something in God on this earth that you live in the fullness of time, in the time space that you have. Show up and do something great in God, whether big or small. Be somebody in God that when you die on your gravestone, people will remember you for what you did. Hallelujah. I like that. That inspires me to go out and do some great things for God. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The problem with our mind is not that we don't have all the information. The problem is that our minds are fallen. We have sinful minds. It's not that we don't have information. We have the information, but wrong information. And it's all fallen state from the enemy. So God had to what? Renew that by the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They have a spirit-bent mindset that is hostile to the absolute supremacy of God. Now, let me just read you this scripture. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Because they think like that, God says, well, if you want to think like that, then I'm going to give you up to your own thinking. That's why you have all this confusion happening right now inside the world today, in your schools, that kids are born thinking they're women, girls, and girls are born thinking they're boys, and all this confusion. God has given up all this to our debased mind because of what we think. That's why we're confused, and we needed a mindset transformation. And church, the school needs teachers of religion, teachers of the kingdom of God to go in and talk to our students. We should never be silent on these issues, because people are hurting about these issues. Yeah. Moms and dads are crying because of their kids confused. And the church should never shut up about those things. Preach it on your pulpit. Teach your children. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. This is who we are by nature. We don't want to see God as worthy of knowing well and treasuring above all things. You know this is true about yourself because of how little you spend to find God. I was like that. I spend little time to find God because I have a fallen mindset. But when I was transformed and changed, I was hungry after the things of God. You know, I got so many calls to go and play music in nightclubs now, and I just don't have that anymore. That's dead. I just can't feel it anymore. And I said, sorry, I'm busy. My life now, I look forward to this. I look forward to coming here to church and worshiping together and being amongst my brothers and sisters. That's my life. I want this. It builds me up. Hallelujah. I can't relate to some of the things that I used to do anymore. Why? Because I'm not the same person anymore. Why? Because I made the choice to what? Get up and walk it. Do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Transform. Not transform. You transform by doing things. You're getting up, reading the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 23, we have exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men. And the image in the mirror is the model image we worship. Hello, somebody. We worship ourselves too much. Oh, that's true. How many times have you paced up and down that mirror this morning? Silence. I did. I had to look good so that my zippers are not like that and buttons like that. That's why I paced up and down the mirror. You know, one time I was preaching up here and my shirt was like this. One was buttoned up like that. And I've preached with so much anointing and fire and power. And then somebody walked up and says, Pastor, your shirt's not right. I thought they're coming out for prayer. I said, oh, thanks. I said, you've been watching this all through the whole preaching? Where was your mind? So, the point of this comment is dress up good, but just watch some loose parts. Make sure they're all tied up together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Come on, high five your neighbor and say, hey, this is good. All right, I'm going to finish. So Psalm 119, verse 11. I love this scripture. Psalm 119, verse 11. This is David, King David. He says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Where did he put that word? Not in his mind. He put it in his subconscious mind. He says, I've put your word here. I'm not just one of those guys that like to quote scriptures and just... We love to shoot people down by scriptures, you know, fast. I can't even remember scriptures. I only remember scriptures when I'm preparing the word. Hallelujah. But some of you, man, they tell you what? True. Scriptures. But it's not in here. It's here. You're quick to remember it, but it's not here. That's why the mind doesn't transform, because it's not here. It's not sitting inside the subconscious mind. Hallelujah. And so David says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hallelujah. What does it mean by hiding God's word in your heart? Well, it does not mean to memorize text, as many of us fast gun Christians like to do. How many of you have memorized scriptures and quote scriptures so fast but still living like the devil? Oh, hello, somebody.
Amen.
We're quick to quit scriptures, but we still live like devils. Praise the Lord. Yes, you can memorize scripture text. So can the devil. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. The devil said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you in the hands that bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Devil is good to quote scriptures, but he doesn't leave scripture. Listen, devil can imitate anything. Devil can counterfeit life. Devil can counterfeit miracles. But the devil can never, never counterfeit righteousness. That belongs to God. And he gave it to you and I. Hallelujah. Satan cannot counterfeit righteousness. Wow. You cannot live a lie if you're a Christian. The devil can live a lie because that's his moral attributes. But we cannot. It's impossible for us to live a lie. We cannot pretend to come to church and pretend to be Christians. No, we can't. This is a lifestyle. You in it or you out. There is no gray area. There is no fence. Hallelujah. You in or you out. That's it. And so you memorize that to live it, not to just think about it. You memorize scripture to leave scripture. You meditate on scripture. You read a scripture, pray and meditate 3 hours about what you just read. And that's how the Holy Ghost starts to plant and download stuff into your heart. So strong in your decisions in life that there's great convictions in your heart that the Holy Ghost is there. You can feel Him. Hallelujah. And that's the most important thing, that you put His word in your heart, not in your mind. Hallelujah. Psalm 4 verse 4 says, "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still." Salah. Salah means to pause, stop, and meditate. Don't rush through the word of God and just keep it in your mind. Read it and let it sit in your heart. Hallelujah. So when you walk, you're actually walking scripture. The world wants not just to hear another scripture. The world wants to see the manifestation of that scripture.